Okay, our topic today is Muktza Mechamat Mitzvah. Who here has heard of the topic or the concept of Tashmishe Mitzvah and Tashmishe Kedusha?
Megillah.
Megillah. What does it have to do with Megillah?
Masechet
Megillah. Okay.
And if it's Tashmisha Kedusha, such as Aaron or something that covers the Torah, then you have to do very
okay. So Tashmisha Mitzvah, for example, your tzitzis. So let's say your tzitzis go bad or get cut off. How do you dispose of them?
However you want.
However you want. Well, we don't throw them out with the regular trash. It's inappropriate to take something that was part of your mitzvah and throw it out with bones and peels and shells, or dirty diapers. But you can dispose of it in a proper way, in a separate garbage bag, or use it to tie the bag, etc. When it comes to Tashmishe Kedusha, anything that has to do with the Sefer Torah, he said, so be it parchment and svarim, so those you can't dispose of, they need to be buried. At what point can something be considered Tashmishe Mitzvah that you can dispose of? That is our discussion today. Because we know that there are certain mitzvot that while the mitzvah is in effect, you cannot get benefit from that mitzvah. Anybody know one of the examples? You cannot use the mitzvah while the mitzvah is in effect, and enjoy. Ner Shabbos? What can you use Ner Shabbos for? You can't read next to a Ner Shabbos, that's a gzera. But you can very well use the Ner Shabbos. It's supposed to light up your home. In fact, you're supposed to make a point of using the Ner Shabbos.
Ner Chanukah.
Ner Chanukah, good. As we sing in Chanira Salalu, you can't use the Ner Chanukah. Okay? What does the effect of not being able to use a mitzvah, not being able to get benefit from a mitzvah, have to do with Hilchot Muktza? Yes?
I think it means the mitzvah is only done for mitzvah's sake and no other thing.
And therefore?
Therefore,
what does that have to do with me being able to use it on Shabbos?
Because there's no additional benefit. The only purpose of the Chanukiah is for the mitzvah.
Therefore, I shouldn't be able to.
But there's no added benefit that you could justify that I'm not using it for this, I'm using it for the secondary benefit.
And therefore,
it should be mukzah because it's only got the mitzvah that is Asar Shabbos.
Did everybody understand, or anybody want to say it clear? Because he's correct. What?
There's no hazmana for Shabbos.
There's no hazmana for Shabbos. Since it's meant for this specific mitzvah, and we're not allowed to use it outside of this mitzvah, so therefore, when it comes to Shabbos, it has no use for us on Shabbos. And therefore, when it comes to Shabbos, you can't move it. So when it comes to you can't move it, what category of muktzah is that? Well, it's none of the categories we saw so far. Therefore, it needs its own category. And that's the category we're going to cover this week, Muktza Mechamat Mitzvah. The source comes from, like most Chanukah, the source for most of Chanukah is the Gemara on Shabbos, the second parak of Shabbos. Amar Rav Yehuda, Shabbos Chafed Amar Aleph, source 1, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav. Asur Lahartzon Mo Kenegen Ner Chanukah. You can't count money near the lights of the menorah. I was once reciting this halacha in front of Shmuel, and Shmuel said to me, what? Is it a Tashmish Kedusha? It's inappropriate to use Ner Chanukah, that it becomes like a Tashmish Kedusha? Tashmish Kedusha you can't use, you can't throw them away, so I can't count next to a menorah? Is it a Tashmish Kedusha? Of course menorah is Tashmish Mitzvah. Why would it be Tashmish Kedusha? Samakula Rav Yosef, I don't grant your premise. V'chi dam kedusha yesh bo? Does blood have kedusha? What's he talking about?
Let's read the Raita. Titanya, v'shafach v'chisa, and you shall spill the blood, and then you shall cover it. We're talking about the mitzvah of kisoy hadam. Name an animal that we would do kisoy hadam for? Chickens. Okay? So nishach the chicken, there is blood. So you have to cover the blood with dirt. Who here has done this mitzvah? Okay. When I was Shana Aleph for Bet, there was a South African here named Hillel Mazels, who was a Shochet, and Erev Yom Kippur, they brought chickens to do kaparas of chickens. Now, I did not do kaparas of chickens, since I don't believe in that, but I took opportunity, I took the opportunity to do Kisui Adam. I made a Shechianu, because I had never done that mitzvah. So I recommend at least finding somebody shechting a chicken somewhere. And can I organize that for you? We should have a Shechianu day. Maybe. Okay, let's see what we can discuss. What? He came here last night and did the sheep. You don't need to do it for the sheep. Okay.
Really?
Fine. So let's go back to our right. With that which you spilled, you should cover it. What does that mean? How did you spill the blood of a chicken? What do you use? A knife. How do you use a knife? With your hand. Okay? So you use the knife to shech the chicken, to spill its blood. You should use a hand on the, which you use the knife, which you use with the hand. You should use a hand to cover the blood. Shelo yichasenu beregel. Why not cover it with dirt? Shelo yehu mitzvot bezuyot alav. We don't want to denigrate mitzvahs. Kicking dirt is what you do to the referee or the umpire who makes a bad call. It is not the way we treat the mitzvah that we're trying to cover with. The mitzvah is to cover this blood with dirt. Lo tochlu al adam. So, b'minei Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Ma'u l'stapik minuyot sukkah kol shiva. Can you get benefit from sukkah decorations? Let's say you hang in your sukkah a jar of honey. You have a beautiful display of Eretz Zavat Chalav V'Dvash. So you hang up, hopefully some powder or evaporated milk, not real milk because it's going to spoil, and you hang up some honey because Zavat Chalav V'Dvash. So now, you're in the sukkah, and you want to have some honey. Can you... I'm sorry, I'm short a source sheet. You'll have to look on with somebody. Can you partake of this honey? So, he asked him, can you... And when he asked him, he said, all 7 days of sukkahs. Amr lahu, harei amru, asru lahartzot mod, kenegin ner chanukah. He said, we already said you can't count money or go through your money when it comes to Hanukkah candles, near your Hanukkah candles. So if you can't count your money near your Hanukkah candles, of course you can't make use of your sukkah decorations. So the Gemara doesn't like this because this was just a statement, and here we have a breita. Tali Tanya b'dolo Amar Rav Yosef Mari d'Avram, God of Abraham, can't believe he said that. Tali Tanya b'dolo Tanya. He's explaining the rationale of a breita by just a stam statement that wasn't a breita. So what's the breita? Sukkah Tanya, Chanukah lo Tanya. Chanukah isn't a breita, it was just a statement above. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav. And here we have a breita. What's the breita? The Tanya. Sigla gehilchata. You built your sukkah and you properly covered it with schach. The itran, you decorated it. The kramim sadinim mitzuyarin with curtains. The talabah gozim, you hung nuts. This is how they used to decorate sukkahs back in the day. They didn't have posters of Rav Lichtenstein and Rav Amital, so they had nuts, afrasakin and peaches, shkedim, almonds, rimonim, pomegranates, chigle and oven, grapevines, matarot shel shibolim, and wreaths of grain, yenot shel shmanu slatot, or oil and wine and flour. So now you see, it's like your whole menu, your whole pantry is hanging in your sukkah. So you would see why you would want to partake of some of these decorations. It sounds delicious. Also, the stavik mehen ad motzi yom tov acharon shel chag. You can't take from them until after sukkahs is completely over. V'im hitna aleim, but if you make a tznai, I'm only hanging this for X amount of time and I'm planning on using it tomorrow, the tznai could work v'im hakol lefi tznao. El amar Rav Yosef avun lechulu dam. They're actually all learned from blood. Blood, we explained, the rationale was, why do you have to do kisui adam with your hand rather than with your foot? the line, I bolded it, Shelo Yehu Mitzvah Bezuyot Alav, so the Mitzvah should not be denigrated. You should not view them cheaply. That's the source for items while they are being used for a mitzvah, you can't use them for other purposes. Now, when it comes to explaining it, why is it that when the mitzvah is done, you can throw it away, and while it's being used, you can't? And that's the difference between a tashmish kedusha and a tashmish mitzvah, can be that a tashmish kedusha, even once it's no longer being used, even once it's pasul, still retains some of its kedusha. Tashmish mitzvah also has kedusha. When does it have kedusha? While it's still being used, while the mitzvah is still in effect. That leaves when the mitzvah is completed. What did you do with your lulav after sukkahs? Right, we just had sukkahs. What did you do with it? You left it at the kotel for someone else to do what?
But someone has, I don't know what to do with it.
You don't know what he did with it. He ate it. Okay. So this is a beautiful minhag that some people have to use this item for burning their chametz, mitzvah gerer mitzvah, so you're going to do another mitzvah with it. It's a wonderful, beautiful minhag. But again, just like in the tzitzis example I gave, you're allowed to just dispose of it in a nicer way than with the rest of your garbage, so in a separate garbage bag, etc.
In the case.
The case is not as biodegradable and it should probably be recycled year to year. Save yourself 10 shekel next year. You know. But, okay, fine. In the case. Fine. Now let's move on to some of these halachot of items that are meant for a mitzvah. And then we're going to discuss towards the end, after we learn those halachot, how each of those relates to Shabbos and Hilchot Motzah. Let's start with source 2. When it comes to the Chanukah oil, let's say you poured oil into your menorah and not all of it burnt. So Chanukah is over. What can I do with this oil? Or even Chanukah is not over. I poured the first light and it lit and now it went out. And there's leftover oil. Can I just light that oil for myself, for my own lamp, or not? Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch here, Paskins, source 2, Tzarech Litin Ba Shemen Kzeh Ashir, when he discusses how much oil to put in, about a half an hour, V'im Natan Ba Yoter, if you put in more, Yachol L'chabota L'achar Shavar Zeh Zman, you can blow it out. V'chein Yachol L'ishtamish L'ora L'achar Zeh Zman, you can use that oil after this amount of time. And the Shulchan Aruch in source 3, Hanot R'yom HaShmini, after the 8th day, Min HaShemen, it's atzarech l'shir adlaka. You have extra after the amount you needed for all those days. Maselam edura v'sarfu b'fnei atzmo sheri hukzel mitzvato. Wait a minute. We just said you can use this light later if you have more than the amount you needed. And here it says after 8 days you just have to take a big bonfire and burn it all because we don't want you to use it because it's hukzel mitzvato. It's set aside for a mitzvah. How do we explain this? So source 4, let's look at the Mishnah Berurah. Min Hashem Ratzarech. Haynu shelo natan tchila rak shir hadlaka. Minichba ba'emtza. If you put in the amount that it needs for a half an hour, and it didn't burn a half hour, so let's say you were unable to relight it, or didn't relight it, so now there's oil that should have been burnt, but didn't, and it was the amount necessary for a half an hour, so that oil is set aside for the mitzvah. You can't use that oil for yourself. Asur le'anot me'imenu. Avalim natan harvei baner, v'notar mutar li'shtamish bo l'chachila. But if you poured in enough for like 8 hours, and after 2-3 hours the candle went out, so the oil went out, so for the other 5 hours worth, you're allowed to use because it's not set aside for the mitzvah. But k'mosh ha'katav, in the other halacha where he said you could use it l'achar zman. V'dah. If you just poured it all in, it's all part of the mitzvah. According to some, you actually have to make a tzniyah. I'm pouring in 8 hours worth, but I'm only setting aside a half an hour worth of the mitzvah, and then I have the right to use the rest. And if you didn't make that tzniyah, it all becomes usher use. It's all set aside for the mitzvah. But everybody agrees that if you made a tzniyah, you can use the leftover amount beyond the half hour. And according to the Shulchan Aruch, certainly if you just the first sheet of the Mishnah Berura before the Da'at Yesh Poskim, so the first sheet seems to say that it's clear that you can just use the rest once it's burnt the half hour. Okay, so one thing we're going to have to discuss is the status of this oil on a Shabbos or Yom Tov. Next, Sukkah, or Dalaminim and Sukkah. Source 5. The Mishnah Sukkah Memhei discusses Hoshana Rabbah. It says, Oto Ayom, what did we do? So you decided to leave your lulav for some nice guy at the Kotel. What could have happened? Some nice guy at the Kotel could have decided to grab the lulav from you because you don't need it anymore. It used to, according to this Mishnah, one of the things people used to do, I'm not sure the nicest people, they would go to kids who had their dalaminim that their parents bought them and they slept them with them, and then, you know, at their base on Mikdash, doing Hoshana Rabbah, and now the service is done, so you go up to the kid, and you grab his etrog, take a bite of it, and watch him cry. Now, why is that okay, except for the watching him cry part? Because the mitzvah of etrog is finished, and therefore you're allowed to use it after Sukkot. You're allowed to use the etrog. You're allowed to eat it. A lot of people make etrog liqueur and etrog jam, and all these things taste really bad, but people like doing it. Okay?
I read a lot somewhere, I don't remember where, that said on the day that you use an etrog, you're not supposed to eat it.
Could be. But it could be that that applies to the first 6 days and not the second. Okay? There's also discussion if you have more than one etrog.
Yeah, so what they said, people used to do that by 7 etrog in, and they use one and then eat it the next day. And then
the next day.
And then eat it the next day.
Correct. So then they're eating one of the other six, according to that sheet.
Yeah.
Okay. So you go up to a kid who has 7 etrog in there, and you take a bite of 6 of them. And he's not going, I don't know why he lets you take number 2 through 6, but okay. He should have learned his lesson after the first one. Fool me once, shame on you. Okay. Dvar Shabbos, Mem Hamed Aleph, discusses the Sukkah itself. Rabbi Shimon Matir. There is a discussion whether the wood that's actually part of the walls of the sukkah is muksa or not. Is machloket Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. V'shavin b'sukkar hachag b'chag shehi asura. They agree that on yontif, anything from the sukkah, whether it falls off or not, is but if you made it tonight, it's according to your tonight. What is it compared to? Just like the oil you put in for the Hanukkah candles is set aside for the mitzvah, you can't use it for any other purpose during Hanukkah, so too all 7 days of Sukkot, the Sukkah is set aside for Sukkot. Rashi comments, Shavin Sukkah. Chag v'chag, shehutza l'mitzvata. The mitzvata kol shiva, all 7 days. Sorry, you need a sukkah. Alma kol shat mitzvata no heik muktzah shalah. As long as the mitzvah is in effect, its muktzah is in effect. Va'afal gav deleka iser stira. And even though it's not, let's say on Chol HaMoed, there's no iser to destroy something like on Shabbos. On Shabbos, you can't be soter. It's one of the lametet malachot. So that doesn't apply here. The Meiri has a stronger formulation. While it's lit, it's set aside for this mitzvah. Toso says something very interesting. Next source. V'achar HaShabbos, Mutter Afilu Rabbi Yehuda, V'achanami Tanya L'kaman Gavi Noye Sukkah, also the stopping mehen Amotzi Yom Tovachar. You can't partake of any of the decorations of the Sukkah until after Yom Tov. Aval Bater Hachi Shari. But after Yom Tov, you're allowed. V'kashalari, Ma'ishlami Ner Chanukah, D'tanya Kabbal El Rishon, Mosif Alav Alal Sheni, U'madlik Bo. If it's the first day of Chanukah and it went out, So you're not allowed to get enough of it, but you're allowed to use it for the next day's mitzvah. So you add a little bit more oil, enough that it'll last for half an hour the next day, and you light it. But on the Kaval El Ched, if on the last day there's no next day, you have to make a bonfire to use up the rest of the oil. So what's the answer? Omeri, the Ner Chanukah, Ikaro lo lahana toba, elo lepersume nisa. What's the point of lighting Chanukah candles? It's not to get benefit. It's usher to get benefit from it. The reason we light Chanukah candles is for persume nisa. Because of the Pursuminitza and how much we like the mitzvah of lighting Hanukkah candles, we figure if you're going to put in 40 minutes or 50 minutes worth of oil, you're not going to sit there with a stopwatch and at 30 minutes blow it out. You're going to just want to put it all there and it'll all be there for the mitzvah. Aval ner Shabbos lahana toba. When it comes to Shabbos candles, why do you like Shabbos candles? Shabbos candles are so it's light in your home. The Gemara calls it Mishum Shalom Bayis. If it's dark in your home, you're going to fight. You're going to argue because you're going to keep bumping into each other and it's not pleasant. So when it's light, it makes you happy. But what about if it's late at night and the light is still on, you want to go to sleep, so now it's just a waste of your oil. So you're actually hoping it magically blows out. Therefore, since this light is for your hanaf, anything that happens, anything that's left of this oil, is for your hanaf later. That's how Tosfot says it. Let's move on a little bit more in Sukkah. Sukkah Daf Tet, Amar Rav Sheshi and Rabbi Akiva, this is the source. Minay Latzei Sukkah Shatsurin Kol Shiva, Hamulomar Chaga Sukkot Shivat Yamim Hashem. Paskins the Shulchan Aruch and the last source in the first column. Atzei Sukkah Asurin Kol Shmonit Yirmei Achav. Bein Atzei Tvanot, Bein Atzei Schach. Whether the wood of the walls or of the Schach, you can't use them all Sukkahs. You can't even use them the 8th day on Shmini Atzeret. Bein Neotin Mehen. I feel a case on the Chzotz machine of us, or even just to take a little twig and use it as a toothpick. That's not allowed. Bein Neotin Mehen. We don't get enough from him. The Davar Achar Kol Shmona Yamim, all 8 days, Mipnei Sheyom HaShiva Kulo HaSukkah, Kulo HaShiva Kulo HaSukkah Muktzah Bein HaShmashon. Because the Sukkah is Muktzah all day on Sukkahs, and that includes Bein HaShmashon, because it might be part of the previous day. Now, when Bein HaShmashon says Usher, we say on the next day, it's Usher too, because something that's Muktzah of the Bein HaShmashon, Muktzah the Kol Yom Kulo. So therefore, going from day 1 until day 8, there is no stop in when these items are muksa. These items remain muksa that entire time. Behold, the hooks of the Benish Mashal Chashvi, hooks of the Kolayom. Says the Rama, Vafilu nafla sukkah, even if the sukkah falls down, it's not part of the sukkah anymore, asurim, v'lo mahani matzna, you can't even make it tonight. And Sif Bet discusses the decorations, because we already discussed walls in the schach. And this is our important line that we're focusing on here in our Hilchos Muktzah Shir. Aser l'taltalam dimbuktzim him. You cannot touch these, you cannot move these items, these decorations, these walls, this schach, on Shabbos or Yantif, because they are muktzah for this Isser. Explains the Gra, Shekol she'asur v'achila, asur v'tziltum. If you can't eat these decorations because they're meant to be decorations, then you cannot handle these decorations. You cannot move these decorations. The Mishnah Bura points out, though, aval v'chom moed lo shaykh iser tiltul, it's not an iser to handle them, aval k'rchachem naflu mutu l'tatal namziru l'koman, or move them, and therefore if they fell, you can hang them back up on Chol HaMoed. But that there's just an Isser to use them. And here we come in with, there are three main distinctions between an item that is just what we're adding by saying this item is Muktzah on Shabbos, in addition to it being set aside for the mitzvah. And one of them is that when it comes to an item set aside for a mitzvah, the Hanukkah candles or the decorations in the sukkah, you the iser that it's set aside means you can't use it. When we say it's aser on Shabbos, what are we adding? When it's mukzah for Shabbos, you can't move it. Okay? As long as you didn't use it during the week, you can move it. You can move it, but not use it. When it comes to Shabbos, you can't even move it. That's one of the differences. Okay, let's move on. The Ber Halacha discusses a very practical case. Let's say you have all these items hanging on your schach or on your wall, and they land on your table. You can't eat because all these items are in the way. You can handle the muktzah and move it. It's going to be one of our shiur topics in the coming week or two. You can move the item without handling it directly. Anara tavla to shake off the table, chadome, tablecloth. Yasev lo yitaltel b'yadayim, don't handle it with your hands. Ulani adaiti, in my opinion, the Ber Halacha says, in kisme aschach, if there are twigs falling from the schach, noshin haru al shulchan, they're landing in your table, efshar demutel l'taltel al b'shavis l'asir, and you can even handle them to remove them on the table, im nimas mizeh, if it's disgusting to eat with all these twigs and leaves falling. Midli dahavi agar shal rei, that's also a coming topic, when you have discussing items, how you're able to move them on Shabbos. Okay. Which of the Dalin Minim can you use on Sukkos? When I say that, what are the other uses you would have for some of the Dalin Minim besides shaking them and shul and hollow? I'm sorry, who said it?
Smelling the
etrog. Smelling. Okay. You would smell your etrog. Are you allowed to smell your etrog?
No. Not on Shabbos.
Not on Shabbos. Why not? Okay. So,
it's
mukso. Why is it mukso?
Because it's
mukso.
Yeah,
but
on Shabbos,
not on.
You're not allowed
to have benefits for shaking it. Not on shaking it.
Okay. So, the truth is, each of the items of the Dalamin has its way it's used in the world. The etrog, as good or bad as it tastes, it's meant to be a food. Hadassim are meant to be smelled. So we take the Dalamin and we're saying, these are Dalamin now, don't use them. What use are we talking about for the etrog? We're saying you can't eat it. Therefore, you actually can smell it. When it comes to that dasim, you can't smell it. It's set aside for the mitzvah. Says the Shulchan Aruch, hadas shel mitzvah asur la'riach bo. Aval etrog shel mitzvah mutar la'riach bo min adin. So according to the basic halacha, you can smell the etrog. But we have a problem. Whether when you smell this etrog, you're supposed to make a bracha on it. Therefore, one shouldn't smell it. So this is going to get qualified in a second. We'll see in a minute. Let's go to the next Shulchan Aruch. When it comes to Shabbos now that you know that etrog technically can be smelled, b'yom Shabbat, ain't no notel, you can't take the dalan minim on Shabbos. Afilu yom rishon, even if it's the first day, which is d'oraita. Says the Rambam, but also the tata lulav b'Shabbos, you can't handle the lulav on Shabbos, d'havi ke'evin. It's like a stone. Avala etrog, mutter b'tiltel. You can handle the etrog if you want. So if a person comes to your home and says, hey, how good of an etrog did you find this year? And you're like, hey, you want to see it? Look what I have. So maybe you can handle it for him. I've seen some who want to say that your etrog is really mukta machmer chisron kis. You would never use your etrog as a paperweight during Sukkos because you want this really nice etrog unblemished, with a pitum intact, etc. So you would never use it. So maybe it can't be handled. But if not, if you have a cheap one or a spare one or whatever, or you don't care about those things, so maybe you can handle it. So why can you handle it? The royal ariachbo. But even though it's meant for smell, or it's fine to smell, also lino ala beged, afil biyom tov demalirecha, you can't rub it all over your clothes, so you'll have a lemony, fresh scent. That we don't do. So comments to the Mishnah Berura, the lulav azasar, huadin aravos and adasa. Let's skip to the next source, and we'll go back to the rest of that Mishnah Berura, because I want to show you who the Mishnah Berura is disagreeing with. The Taz, discussing the Shulchan Aruch, saying, also the Tata Lulav, says, but it's even Tafko Beichem, Ivirama, regarding a shofar. Because in our first week, we discussed Klishim Lachtel Eser. We said the shofar is meant for, is a Klishim Lachtel Eser, and a Klishim Lachtel Eser can be handled in what way? When you need it. Gufo or Makomo, when you need to want to use it for as an object, albeit for a different purpose than it's normally meant for, or you want its spot. So he says, why would the lulav be any different? In King Khan, Nami Shari Litata Lulav Litzar Gufo Makomo. So if the lulav is in the way, you can move it. If you want to use the lulav as a doorstop or paperweight, you can. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Dalet, and this is the view of the Prima Gadim and the Chai Adam, and Beit Meir and many others. The Havikavin, Vafilu Litzorach Gufo Makomo Aser. No, it doesn't have the same status as a shofar. Lo dami le shofar. The Sharinan be sub simatavke vechen the tato litzorach Gufo Makomo. Why is shofar different? The Shani Hatam Davi Kli Roy le Ezer Davar Chol Shavo Chadome. Oh, Kli Shav Bo Chadome. Mashenkin Hachadetz Bamo. A little bit of a typo. But it's meant you could technically use the shofar to transfer some kind of liquid from one place to another, I guess leaving your finger under the bottom. And therefore, since it has that use, it has another use. The lulav has no other use. It's like an etzba alma or an eben and has no other use. Now we're going to get to our main topic, which is the muksa of all these cases we discussed. And for that, we return to the last two sources of the Chayyadam. Actually, the second to last source is the main one. The last one just discusses an interesting loophole for a certain case. Says the Chayyadam, Mukta Machman Mitzvah. That's our category, right? Mukta Machman Mitzvah. Who called over Shechokzul the Mitzvah. Bein Bechol Bein B'Shabbos. It's set aside for a mitzvah, whether a weekday or a Shabbos. Bein Kain, Asalun no Behen. And if so, you can't get enough. The Kimid Asalun no Behen, Lachain B'Shabbos Yom Tov. Asurin b'tiltul. You cannot move them. Aval b'chol, v'afil b'chol shalmoveh, lo shaykh eser tiltul. There's no such eser. Ve'ezu davar muktzah l'mitzvah. What are the items that are muktzah l'mitzvah? Well, now you all know. Such as? Kigo, ner shel Shabbos, v'ner shel Yom Tov, v'noy sukkah, decorations, Ve'etrog, ve'lulav, ve'adasa, rava. Afilo arava shenot lin moshan rava, even the one you use for oshanos. Ve'ner chanaka. V'chol ze asur listapik mehem. Mishum bitul mitzvah. Because it is nullifying a mitzvah. Chol shekei miner shadoli b'shavs yom tov. If it's actually lit and you take some of the oil, that's an iser mechave. That has nothing to do with muksa. That has to be separate iser melacha. Even to get enough from them in a way that won't preclude you from continuing to do the mitzvah, it denigrates the mitzvah. And since they are set aside for their mitzvah, they are asur as long as the mitzvah still applies. But it's only asur for that which it's set aside for. In our example of the etrog was meant to be eaten, and therefore, what are you allowed to do to it? You're allowed to smell it. Ainu etrog lo yitzel me'achila, chen mutter la riach bo min adin. Chen asur letata alula b'shabes, nearly the lonely b'ayi letzorach gufa laser. He's paskening like Mishnah Berurah against the Taz. Now, the last source he discusses an interesting case. Let's say there is water on your schach. And it's dropping into your sukkah. So there's a serious rain, and your schach is trapping a lot of water, but slowly but surely, the water forms a trip and lands and makes it very unpleasant. So what do you want to do? You want to shake off the schach from all this water and now go sit in your sukkah. So what does the chayav say? L'taltol muksa l'tzorech mitzvah. Can you handle muksa in order to do a mitzvah? Because what mitzvah are you going to do after you shake off the schach? You're going to go sit in your sukkah. You shechted a chicken and you didn't plan ahead, so you didn't have dirt to cover the blood with, and it's yom tov, so you have to gather up some dirt in order to, not by digging a hole, that would be a different malacha, but here just dirt that wasn't set aside, so that's mutter. Avalim eino kach, ela sha'al yedeza yuchal l'chayim mitzvah achar kach aser. So there, by violating muksa, or us allowing you to ignore muksa, that is the mitzvah, it's mutter. But here, by violating the muksa, you're not fulfilling a mitzvah, you're enabling fulfillment of a mitzvah to happen now. Everybody catch the distinction? It's by shaking off the schach, you're not doing a mitzvah. By shaking off the schach, you're going to be able to do a mitzvah, to go into the sukkah after the schach is shaken off. It's still dripping. So it rained and it's still dripping. Now you can't eat in the sukkah. You can't shake the schach to make the water fall down. Not only to lift it, even to hit it, aser. You are causing it to move. Moving isn't only when you lift an item and move it somewhere. Even causing it to move is part of the iser of moving a muksa item. And it's not allowed because you're not doing mitzvah. It's only going to allow a mitzvah to be done. But here's his loophole. And this is one of the ones we're going to discuss in the coming week when we discuss Toto Menatzad. Says, Avala Kotala Bimakalot She'ena Muksin. You have an item that's not Muksa. You can use that to hit the schach. And that item is what's causing the schach to now become okay. Have a Toto Menatzad Umutter. So you're not allowed to handle the schach or cause it to be moved. But you're allowed to cause an item to move, which in turn causes the schach to move, which in turn causes this water to come down, and that's all allowed because it's a hechsher mitzvah. And therein we've discussed muktzah machmat mitzvah. Yes?
So the same thing applies when the schach goes off.
To put it back on?
Yeah, you actually got a schach.
That's the Israel Ohel. We have an issue with that. Okay, that was something he discussed about actually removing it. You're taking apart an Ohel. That's a separate problem. Here the schach is in place. It's just unpleasant to sit in the sukkah because you keep getting wet. So you're actually putter from, or if you have no other sukkah, you wouldn't be able to sit in that sukkah. But here, you want to be able to sit in the sukkah, you have nowhere else to go, you want to be in the sukkah, it's sukkahs. So how do you get the water off? A kalam oed, your solution is fine, you're allowed to take it off and down. We're talking about on Shabbos and Yontif, so you're allowed to take a fork or some kind of mutter item of yours, and use that to eat the schach to get off all the water.
No, but what happens if it actually does go off?
Shabbos and Yontif? You can't put it back on. No. You might be able to ask a guy, but for that, we need a longer discussion about how you can ask a guy for that. For yourself, you might not be able to ask a guy. If it's a shul, you might be able to ask a guy, etc. That's a whole other discussion, but for your purposes, you can't. Let's leave it at that. Any other questions? Okay. Shikach. Thank you for listening. See you next week.